Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Sanhedrin Daf Samaches. We begin on Samach Zayin Amud Beis on the very last line. Omer Rabbi Akiva b'chulu. So back to the Mishnah where Rabbi Akiva quotes Rabbi Yeshua in describing the various halachos pertaining to kishuf, to picking kishuim, some sort of vegetable, cucumbers, via the kishuf system with sorcery. So he's not actually picking it, but using sorcery to do so. And of course, that constitutes a grave violation, transgressing the isser of kishuf, and generates sekila. Now, Rabbi Kiva explains the name of Rabbi Yeshua. It's only if he actually did it, rather than just committed an illusion. So it appears that Rabbi Kiva studied the halachis of picking kishuim via kishuf from his Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua. Asks the Gemara, really? About Rabbi Kiva? This halacha, this concept of the picking kishuim and the kishuv halachis related therein, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua Gamila? He studied that from Rabbi Yeshua. Vatan, you have a braisa where it seems like he learned it from a different Rabbi, from Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana. Famous Rabbi Eliezer, who disputed very strongly against the Chachamim, against the majority, and he was put in Cherem, he was excommunicated, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So here comes a braisa, which is going to indicate that Rabbi Kiva learned these concepts from Rabbi Eliezer. V'ha Rabbi Kiva b'sho gamrila v'atanya k'shechala Rabbi Eliezer. When Rabbi Eliezer fell ill, nichnasu Rabbi Kiva, this was his last illness, he had some visitors, nichnasu Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues, v'chaveirav l'vakra, they came in to visit him. Hu yeshiv b'kinev shalai, he was sitting in his canopy, v'hin yeshiv b'tarklun shalai, they were sitting out in the next room. V'oisayayim, erev Shabbos haya. So at this point they kept a distance, he sat in the canopy, they stayed outside the canopy, until further notice, until they see if he's available to receive them. And it was erev Shabbos. V'oisayim, erev Shabbos haya, v'nichnas hurkinus b'noi lachlitz tefilah. And it was very close to Shabbos. So Hurkanus, the son of Rabbi Lezer, came in to remove his father's tefillin, because you're not meant to wear tefillin on Shabbos. It's Issur Midrabbanan, because even if you actually walk outside in the street with tefillin, it's not really carrying, because it's really a sort of a mode of dress, derech malbushu. In fact, Rashi calls it tachshitin huloi b'choyal, during the weekdays, it's like an adornment, right? It's part of your uniform. So even on Shabbos, it's not really a malacha in HaTorah, but the Rabbanan were concerned that they don't let you wear tefillin on Shabbos, concerned that you might take it out in the street, and etc. Okay, this is a Gemara in Shabbos. You might actually remove it if he needs to tend to his needs. So his son came in to take care of the tefillin. V'nichna surkev s'bonet lachlis tefillav garvoy. So his father told him off. V'yotza b'nazifa, and he left. He walked out after being shooed away, so to speak. Okay, so he wasn't very happy with his coming to remove his tefillin. Amar lehen lechaverav, so Hurkanus turned to his father's friends there, and he says, "Kemeduma ani shadaita shalav nitrifa." I'm hesitant to say this, but it seems like my father has come to close to his end. His mind is not there anymore, because look, he's yelling at me for taking off his tefillin. Amar lehen Sir Belezer, upon hearing his son's comment, responded very forcefully. If anything, just the opposite. I'm right on target. Da'atoi, his mind, meaning my son's mind, Das Ima, and his mother's mind, they're off. Because look, they're disregarding. The reason why I was upset is not because my mind isn't clear, not because I'm convoluted, not because of anything like that. Where are your priorities? What are you busy with right before Shabbos? You haven't yet ben shlicht, you haven't yet taken care of more important things. Heich manichin isur sekila, v'oizkin isur Shabbos. Look, your mother didn't light her Shabbos licht yet. That's a question of isur sekila. If you wait a bit longer, it's going to be Shabbos. And you should have you should have done hatmana. Hatmana means where you take the hot food and you wrap it up. You meant to do that before Shabbos. So that's a question of something that can come to a malacha. But if you wait until Shabbos, you might come to warm it up or whatever. So why are you picking on the tefillin? That should be your last priority. V'oizkin v'isr shvus. Shvus means isr derabbanan. Wearing tefillin on Shabbos is milim derabbanan. That takes second priority to activities which can lead to isr deraisa. Okay, so once he clarified his position and indicated that he had clarity of mind, so the Chachamim figured, okay, it's time to come and spend time with him and converse with him. The Chacham saw that he was, his mind was fully there, fully focused. They entered, they sat before him, but they kept the 4 am a distance because, as we explained, he was in Chirim. Amr Lehem, he tells his guests, Lama Basim, why'd you come? Amr Lehem, they told him, we came to learn from you. Amr Lehem, he says, what happened until now? Nobody came to visit me for years. I'm sitting here and we didn't get a chance to do it. They were sort of, excusing themselves. Amr Lansi responded very forcefully to me, Ani, I'll be wondered, Im Yamusu Misas Atzman, if these Chachamim will die naturally, indicating that they're all going to die via the authorities, going to be killed by the, authorities. Amr Lir Rekiva, so Rekiva asked him, what about me, Shali? Ma, what about my death? Amr Lir, he says, you're even worse. Because you have such great potential in terms of learning my Torah, and you haven't taken advantage of me. So if anything, you deserve a greater punishment. Amar l'shalcha, yours, kashem l'shalan, is even greater, more severe than theirs. And that's what happened eventually, right? So he, Rabbi Lezer, expressed his anguish at the fact that he didn't have a chance, he didn't have the proper opportunity to give over all his knowledge and his Torah. Natash teiz ra'esav. So he lifted his two arms, benichan alibe, and placed it on his heart. So by placing them on his heart, he was indicating like he's a closed sefer Torah that's rolled up. Look, all my knowledge is going to stay within. Amar, he says, oy lachem shteiz ra'esai, woe to you, my two arms, shenker shteiz sefer Torah, shaniglon, it's like two sefer Torah that have been rolled up and inaccessible. Same thing with my Torah. After I pass away, all my Torah is going to stay inside, and you have a missed opportunity. Harbor Torah Lamanti. Look how much Torah I learned from my teachers. Harbor Torah Lamanti, and I in fact got opportunity to teach much Torah, but not enough. Harbor Torah Lamanti, but the Chesarati Miraboisai. Despite all the Torah that I learned from my Rebbeim, the gap in knowledge between them and myself didn't really narrow very much. I didn't really get much from them in proportion to their knowledge. Even less than a dog licking the sea. It doesn't really diminish the water whatsoever. It's very negligible. Same thing with comparing my knowledge to my Rebbeim. Despite the fact that I learned so much Torah, there was so much more for me to learn. The gap in knowledge between myself and them hasn't really narrowed very much. And at the same time, in terms of my teaching, Harbi Torah Lamadti, I taught much Torah to my Talmidim, but compared to what I know, it's negligible. The Chisruni Talmidai and my Talmidim, again, they didn't narrow the gap of knowledge between myself and them, only a very minute amount, El Kemikhel, Bishvei Ferris, like you stick a dropper into a spindle into a container, into some sort of eye paint or whatever, So how much do you get out of there? Just a drop at a time, right? So that's how little I was able to teach. I wish I could have taught much more. But not only that, listen to what I'm saying. Look how much I have to give. Look how much I had to give. I had access to 300 various halachis the Beharas Aza pertaining to Negoim. And it never happened that anybody would even ask me a question on that topic. What a pity. Furthermore, I have in my repertoire 300 various halachis regarding kishuf. Varamigla, some say that it wasn't 300, it was 3,000. Shleshes halachim halachis. Ben tias kishuim regarding the various halachis pertaining to picking kishuim through the kishuf system. Oh, this is why we reference this braisa. So all that knowledge, and nobody took advantage except for one time, one person, Rabbi Akiva. Nobody ever asked me about these things. Chutz me'akiva ben Yosef, except for Akiva. It so happens, we were once walking on the road, and he took the opportunity to ask me. One time we were both walking on the road. Amarli, he turns to me, Rabbi, please, I know that you know about these things. Please teach me the halachas of kishuf regarding tias kishuin. So I responded with some sort of chant of kishuf. And suddenly everything fills up, the whole field is full of kishuin. Amarli, he turned to me, Rabbi again, limad tani netiyosan. Okay, you just taught me how to plant them through kishuv. Lamdei ne'akirosan, please teach me how to uproot them, how to pick them through the kishuv. And in fact, he taught it to him as well. Amarti davar echad. I follow her up with another kishuv, statement. V'neskab tzukul makam echad. And there you go, all of them gathered to one place. Let's just finish the story. So, this is Rabbi Lezer relating. Now the Chachamim, his visitors, indeed took the opportunity to ask him a couple of questions. Things that were really topics of dispute between himself and the Chachamim. Amrulay, they asked him, Hakadur, you have a ball. So it's a closed entity filled with stuffing. Ve'imois, another filled stuffing. You have a make this like a form of a shoe, right? So it's a leather form filled with stuffing and sewed up so the stuffing stayed inside. So it's really makabel. It's a receptacle, but it's really stuck inside permanently. It's not meant to be, taken in and out. And it's meant for making of shoes, right? So you make the shoe on top of it based on the form. Well, Kamiya, another example of something which has a filled stuffing meant to stay inside permanently. So I have this amulet, right? So it has some sort of writing inside or plants or whatever. Utsur hamagolis. We have this leather diamond pouch, which you keep tight, closed up. You hang it on the animal's neck for refuah. Umashkolis ktana. Another example is you have a little weight covered with, wrapped with leather. So all these items, according to Chachamim, is not susceptible to tumah. You know why? Because a kli needs to be something which, a leather kli needs to be, needs to have a base kibul. It has to be a receptacle. So all these items, true, they're full, but it's called base kli ha'asu l'malos. It's meant to be filled permanently. It's not like you take it in and out. It's just a one entity. So according to them, it's not tummy. But according to Rabbi Lezer, it is. Mao, so what's the halacha? Amar Lani says, yeah, hint me, they're tummy. I hold that even though it's meant to stay that way permanently, it's called a base kibul at makabel tum. Next question. Okay, let's say somehow it becomes tummy, even according to Chachamim, somehow it becomes tummy. Let's say it was ripped a bit open, so it's now accessible, the stuffing is accessible, and it's now touching something which is tummy. Can you just throw into the mikveh like that, or do you have to take out the stuffing? Is the stuffing considered a barrier? Is it a chaitzitz between the water and the interior of this receptacle, of this container? So he says it's not. He says it's part and parcel of this entity, and it's a sort of bottle to the leather. You don't have to take out the stuffing to be tevel the leather. V'tarosim v'mashihin. The way to make a tummy, easy, just throw into the water and you're good. A third question, which actually is, again, subject of dispute between Rav Lezer and Chachamim, minol shalgabi imus. So the imus we explained before is that form, right, upon which they would fashion the new shoe. So you have the shoe that was already sewn, sewn and shaped and finished, but it's still sitting on the frame, on the form. It hasn't yet been taken off. Ma, what is the halach? Is it a finished product? You would say it is. But on the other hand, you can't use it as is. You have to first take it off the machine, right? Amar Lan, he says, Hutar. It's still tar. It's not a kli. because although you don't need an expert, that's the Chacham's opinion. You say, well, you don't need an expert, you don't need a professional to pull it. Anybody can just pull it off. He indicated, no, tahar, because it's not yet a finished product until it's removed, and then it's considered a fully made shoe. So Rabbi Elazar said the word tahar, and that's when he passed away. V'yotza nishmasa b'tahara. The neshama left him as he was saying tahar. What a beautiful moment. Amar Rabbi Shua Araglov, so Rabbi Shua got up on his feet, v'amar, and he declared, hutar ha-neder, hutar ha-neder. The neder, the nidui, the cherim, has now expired. It's over. So after Shabbos, they were taking him to burial, and Rabbi Akiva bumped into the coffin of Rabbi Elazar that was being transported between Min Kay Street to the other town of Lulud. Rabbi Akiva was so full of anguish, and he was striking at his flesh from Tzar, Achadomai Shoshis La'oretz, because he lost this tremendous source of Torah, and his blood was streaking down. Pasach Alav Bashura, so Rabbi Akiva got up and he started eulogizing Rabbi Elazar when they were standing on, you know, the Shura, this row that they do when they bury somebody. Ba'amar, he says, Avi, Avi, this is the Pasach that, right, Elisha cried out when Eliyahu Navi left him, Avi, Avi, my father, Rechav Yisrael Parasha. Look, where am I going to go to ask my questions? Harav Moise Yeshli, I have many coins, a lot of money. But how do I know if it's good quality, bad quality? I have a lot of questions. I don't have an address. I have no more a banker, a money expert, to present my coins. Bottom line is, clearly, where did Rabbi Akiva get his kishuf information from, regarding the kishuin, from Rabbi Elazar, not from Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar Gamra, apparently he learned it from Rabbi Elazar. Says the Gemara, you're right, he learned it from both. Initially, Gamra, he learned it from Rabbi Elazar. Well, he suffered, he didn't really internalize it so well. Hada Gamra, Rabbi Yeshua v'azbarni alei. So then he went to Rabbi Yeshua, and he explained it to him better, and he was able to understand it. He presented it to him in a way that he could understand it. Asks the Gemara, hold it, how could they even engage in these activities? Rabbi Elazar did kishuf. He planted those things, he picked them, Rabbi Yeshua, how could they do that? Vanatanan, ha'isa ma'asa chayiv, Mishnah says, anybody that does kishuf is chayiv misa, l'islamit shani. Here they weren't doing it for the sake of kishuf. It was meant for training, to teach. Davar Mar, as we learned, Pasuk says, l'isilmat lasis, don't emulate the goyim, don't follow their ways. And we learn lasis, don't learn their kishuf and all those things for your own sake, if the purpose will be to apply it for yourself. Then you can't study it. But you may learn it, in order to understand and teach others to know the difference between what's permissible, what's not. And let's say a false prophet will come and try to impress you through using kishuf, right? Well, you know the tricks of the trade, and you can see right through it because you understand the system and you can validate his actions. Hadron Allah ben Seir Ramayr. Hadron Allah Arba Mises. Okay, get a new parak, ben Seir Ramayr. So he's also a fellow that's going to be Chayav Misa. He's listed on that list of Chayav Eskila back on the Afnon Gimel in the Mishnah. So when exactly does this happen? What age are we speaking about? So actually, it's a very narrow time frame between 13. We'll say it's about a three. It's a 3 month time zone. Ben Serimer. So this. Son who strays, who rebels, who steals from his parents, and indulges in food and drink. The Torah says, look, nip it at the bud, and don't let, you know, gluttony turn into robbery and murder. So he put him to death. At what point in his life, what's the minimum age for a potential ben Seir Ramayr? Meshiyavish Tisaros. He has to be at least an adult, exhibiting two pubic hairs. Va'ad, but the deadline is shiyakiv zaken atachte, shiyakiv zaken, until he gets a zaken. Zaken means a beard, but here the Gemara explains it means the hair area on the bottom of the body. Hatachtin v'loya eli. We're not speaking about the standard beard on one's face, but we refer to it in this dignified way because that's the way chachamim speak. Ela shadiru chachamim b'lashenikia. Shenema. How do we know that in fact it's so? that this is a very narrow window of opportunity between Shtei Saris until he develops more hair. Shenamar ki yele ish ben. So firstly we learn, ben means a son, a boy, v'lo bas, it doesn't apply to a daughter. Ben means v'lo ish, he can't be a super adult. Once he's very old, he's an ish. Katan, of course, if he's below 13, he's potter, he's exempt, sheleiba, l'cha mitzvahs. He's not obligated in the mitzvahs, of course, he wouldn't get the status of a ben sorimer. Okay, now let's break down the Mishnah step by step. Katan menolan de potter. How do we know that a katan is exempt? What do you mean, menolan? Because it's only time, and the Mishnah explains itself. Sheleiba, l'cha mitzvahs. He's not yet obligated. How could you kill him? The suv, furthermore, hecha ashkichon de anish akosuf. Where else do we find a precedent for punishing a minor, which would even suggest that the hachli bayi krol mifrei, that would necessitate the pasuk coming and exempting him? Why would I think otherwise? What do you mean? What do you mean to ask? Oh, anan hachli kamrino. We meant to ask like this. You see, here we're not punishing him in response to his transgression. We're anticipating. We're looking ahead into the future. We're doing preventative actions. So perhaps even a katan would be deserving of that. Anan hachi kamrin, we mean to say like this. Otu ben seder emar, you think of ben seder emar, al chate nerab? He's being punished, being killed because of what he did? What did he do? He ate some meat. That's not enough. That doesn't justify bisa. Rad al shem seifin nerab. It's all about the future. It can come to kill and all that. V'kiven dal shem seifin nerab, since it's an account of the future, so perhaps I feel a katanam, even a minor, exhibiting these inappropriate, this extremely inappropriate conduct, perhaps would also qualify as a ben seder emar. Next question, v'oid, look, the pasuk says, v'chiel ish, ben, a person will have a son. Ben, son means, v'lo ish, not an adult. Right? Katan mashma, sounds like we're speaking about a minor. So why would you exempt a minor? Amar vidom marav, damakra, the pasuk says, v'chiel ish ben. It says, v'chiel ish ben, we learn, ben asamuch, look, v'rosa shel ish. This son isn't a minor. He's somewhat older. In fact, he's very close to the point of being a full ish, which the Mishnah relates to the idea of exhibiting an abundance of hair in that area. Hakavas zakan. That's when he's called an ish. So that, we're not speaking about a minor. We're speaking about past bar mitzvah up until that next, stage. V'ad sheyakiv zaken atachten. Toner rebechia, at sheyakiv, at Torah. The zaken atachten is speaking about at Torah. At Torah means a crown. What does that mean? Okay, also, Dimi, Omar, explain that all he needs is a kavas gid, that the hair should surround the gid, the aver of the zachar, near his beitim. V'lai kavas beitim, you don't need hair to surround the beitim themselves, which is a more advanced stage. Amar Rav Chisda, katan shahilid, ein b'noi nase ben seder emar. If somehow a katan impregnated a woman who had a baby, so now that son cannot become ben seder emar. You know why? Shenemar ki yele ish ben. It's specific to a son of a grown man. Leish ben, v'loy leben ben, as opposed to a son who came from a son. Meaning a son who came from a minor. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? We already used this pasuk for the previous halacha, indicating the exact age, right? Haimi Baila, this pasuk is needed. Look at Rabbi Dama Rav, the previous halacha. Imkain. No, we can include both. Because if so, if it's only for that, Leim Makor, the pasuk would say, Kiyeh ben le'ish. So if this happened to a ben who's close to being an ish, this is an age, sort of description, yeah. My kiyel leish ben. Why did the Torah switch around the words? Kiyel leish ben. Shema, I'm going to tell you, it only applies to a ben from an ish. Look at Rav Chisda. No, ve'im kulei lachid asas. Maybe it's only coming to tell you the second halach, and not regarding the age gap, the age time frame. Imkain, because if it were so, that it's only for the second halach, and the pasuk would word it differently. Ben ish. Kiyel ben ish. He'll be a son of an adult, as opposed to son of a minor. That would be enough to teach us this halacha, to exempt him. My li'ish ben, why switch around the words, li'ish ben, shmam notarti? So it's covering both aspects. To tell you that the ben is of an ish, as opposed to the ben of a katan. So a katan can have a child, but that child is now pater from ben sora mera. And likewise, Leish Ben tells you that the in terms of the age factor, that he's a ben samach gvrasa shalish, he's between 13 years old, you know, the shtei saris, up until that more, you know, advanced stage of maturity. Now this halacha, which indicates that a katan can technically bear a child, upliga the rabba, isn't the dispute of Rabbah who says that Rabbah katan, if he's a minor, in a mild, he doesn't have the ability physically to bear children. Shenamar, mainly is goyel. A person steals from somebody and he swore and he admits, he has to find him and deliver the money to him. Let's say there is no heir, there are no relatives. How could that be? Right? The person died without relatives. How could the Torah speak about not being able to find your victim because he died without any relatives? Everybody has some relative, a distant cousin, right? Oh, we're speaking about a unique case. He stole from a ger. Okay, he can die without any heirs if he didn't marry and have kids. Right? He has no relatives. Now, the Pasuk says, Ish. If he's an adult, if the ger was an adult, then you have to investigate, research whether he has any, you know, maybe he could have had a kid after converting. Ish at the Torah lachzer olav. So if this man was an ish, an adult, verify that he has no kids born to him after converting. Torah lachzer olav mish legoelin vimlav. Whether or not he has goelin. But if he's only a katan, if your victim was just a katan and he was a ger, then you know for sure, if he died, there's nobody to pick it up because he had the Torah lachzer olav. Because if you do, it's known. Shane Legon, he has no kids. He has no relatives, because he can't bear children if he's just a cut. So that's Rabba's opinion. Esfi Abaye had a kasha on Rabba. You're telling me a cotton can't bear children? Ish. So we have a pasuk that a man got involved as married as another woman, and appropriately, Ainli Elish. Maybe it only applies to an adult. What about Ben Teisha Shanim Yemecha Sheroi Labia? What about a 9-year-old who is able to physically interact physically with a woman? And how do you know that he has the same status, that he gets malchus, if this woman was a shifcha charufa, a half maidservant? That's a whole sugya. In any case, that's learned from the extra vav. Tamalimia vi'ish. It's covering even a 9-year-old. So you see that he's fully able. We assume he's fully able to have children as well. Amalei Rabba responded, he's half able. Yesh loy, he has, you know, the zera, he's able to execute the act, but ve'ene moilid, he can't bear children. It's like unripe seeds. It's like, you know, you have wheat, right? Grain that's less than a third of its growth. It has, you know, granules. There are these seeds inside, right? But if you plant it, it's not going to grow. Same thing with this cut. We have a braisa from the Mechiske which supports Rabba that a cotton cannot bear children. The pasuk says v'chiyazid ish, and the drasha is like this: ish mezid. Yazid means it's developed, like, you know, you cook something, it's developed. Ish, only an adult, mezid umazriya, his zera is fully developed and it can actually implant and bear children. Vein katan mezid umazriya, but a katan, although he has some form of zera, it's not complete, not fully developed, it can't bear children. That's right to Rabba. A katan is not moilad. Amalei Rav Modach Ravashi, my mashma. Da'ai mezid lishan de bashuli. Where do we find that yazid means a bishul, like, you know, cooked, developed. Lishan de bashuli hu. D'chsiv ha-yazid Yaakov nozid. Famous story, Yaakov Avinu cooked up the bean soup. So we see ha-yazid lishan of bishul. Now we have a braisa, which seems to say that a katan is not going to have children. V'atan de rishmoel. But what about the braisa? Ben, right, ben sora meira, only a ben can become a sora meira b'loy av. But if he's already a father, if he had a child, then he's out. He cannot become a ben sora meira. Now, let's try to break down the story step by step. How can we have an individual who technically should be a ben sora meira based on his conduct and based on his, age factor? But since he had a child, he's an av, he's exempt. How could that be? The window of opportunity is so narrow. Hey, Chidami, how can this be? Ilema di aber, Basar da'aisi shtei saris. Do we say that a woman who's bearing this Bensur Amur's child became expectant after the Bensur Amur became an adult? Voilad mikamid lakiv zakim. And she gave birth to this child before the Bensur Amur got to the point of hakaf ha'zakim, because at that point he's out of Bensur Amur territory. It had to have occurred within this window between shtei saris and hakaf ha'zakim. It's impossible. There isn't enough time. It's way less than 9 months. Mika shows kuli. How do you have so much time? Va'amar Rabbi Kuspedai, kol yamav shel ben sora meira, eina yela shleisha chodashim avad. The entire window of opportunity for ben sora meira to develop into one is only 3 months. Meaning, between shtei saris and akav hazaken is a 3 month window. That's it. Not enough time to bear a child. Elalav. Apparently, it must be. It started before he became an adult. The Abar Mikamid Elisish Desaru. She became impregnated from him before he became an adult. And she gave birth to this child on behalf of the Bensur Amur inside that window of opportunity. Voilin Mikamid Lakiv Zakan. She gave birth before he had the Zakan. Shmam no Katan Moilin. What does that tell you? That a cotton can have children? Loi. Loilam the Abar Basa de Aisi. Desaru. No. She became Uberus after he became an adult. And truthfully, she gave birth way later, after he got the Zakan. Isn't it too late? No. Because he was a potential father during that window of opportunity. Her status, her pregnant state was visible, because it happens after three months, you can see it, it's discernible. At that point, the future father of the child, is already called somewhat of a father. He's labeled father. And that's why he's exempt from the din of Bensur Amur. She didn't have the child yet. She didn't give birth to the child yet. But that's not needed to exempt him. He's already considered somewhat of a father if her pregnant status becomes known. Right? So again, Loilum di Aber Basa da Aisi Shtei Saris. She became Uberus after he became an adult. Because prior to that, he cannot impregnate. Voila Basa da Akiv Zakan. She gave birth to the child after he got to the next stage. After Akafa Zakan. Look at Kashya, the Rabbi Kruspidoy, regarding our question that it's past the 3 months. Kiyos Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar, he explained, Amar my Rabbi, Eretz Yisrael, they explained that when Tanu Bishmol say, Ben V'loy Av, it doesn't mean you have to wait until the child is born. As long as he's already expecting a child, child's on the way, and visibly so, Ben Seremer is V'loy Haroy L'Kroyse Av, as opposed to an individual who's already been called father. So once it's 3 months into the pregnancy, you're already calling him a father. And that's why he's exempt from a seremer. Okay. So to summarize, we have the story of Rabbi Lezer, who was in Cherem, was bemoaning the fact that he learned so much and he had so much to give over and so little was taken advantage of. Rabbi Kiva, however, did learn some things from him regarding the Kishuf, which of course you're allowed to if the purpose is for educational purposes and to be used for Torah. For Sodom Moira, well, it's specific to a Ben. He has to be an adult, but within that 3 month window of opportunity, we had an interesting Shaila regarding a Katan, whether or not he can be Moilid. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.